You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Today, of course, is Wednesday. Got to get over the hump, and I know you will. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if you're in different parts of this country, you got some storms coming your way. If you're in the Houston, Galveston area, it's already hitting you. You're on the East Coast. You got two of them coming your way in the Caribbean, and Humberto, who was taking an aim at the middle mid-Atlantic state. So it's tough, man. You know, I was talking to some brothers and sisters the other day about climate change, and you know, and it's real, but you still have climate deniers. But I don't understand how you can deny what you can physically see. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Yep. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives. You go to timeforanawakening.com, and on the page, you'll see podcasts. You click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. You click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Some now will have means, because Brother Kwaku is getting it together to post some of these previous recorded programs. And, you know, we're trying to get it together here as a group, because we're on Black Talk Radio Network, which is the number one Black Talk podcast in the nation. And I'm happy to be and proud to be associated with Black Talk Radio Network and Time for an Awakening Media. Other programs that we have on Time for an Awakening Media, this program that I stated, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesday, is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Other programs on Monday evening, all times they're going to give are Eastern times, so adjust accordingly. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs program out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. After Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10 on Mondays. Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. I listened to it last night. Good program, Doc Rogers. And excellent program from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, this evening from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, oh, brothers and sisters, you know what time it is. That's right. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is not me. It is Sister POC on Sunday and her program Revive. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it will be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. It's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media, Monday through Fridays, 10 p.m. Eastern, Warren Ballantyne Show. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. In fact, you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. If you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where they have the laundry detergent and all the other stuff that the We Buy Black produces. I was there a few weeks ago. Beautiful. A lot of good stuff. Go online if you're not in the Atlanta area and don't want to drive to the Greenbrier Mall or whatever. Go online and check it out. WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tahimba, please check him out online. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. He is planning a trip to South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd, Johannesburg and Cape Town. Give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. He also is planning a trip to Ghana again, December 24th through January 4th, 2020. Africa for the Africans. And that's what it should be. That's what it must be. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna located here in the West End, here in Atlanta. They got everything you need. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got artwork. You name it, but they have books. It's the cultural center and bookstore. They have books. And if they don't have the book that you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. And they have a class. Every Saturday, Baba Olatunji instructs in the Black history class, African history class, Know Thyself. Every Saturday is free and open to the public at 1:30 to 3:30, from 1:30 to 3:30. But if you can't make the class, but you want that information, brothers and sisters, they have a history club, a multimedia library. And I should say it was 4.5 terabytes. It's up to seven terabytes of African enlightenment. I don't know. He has to rework this flyer here because I'm quite sure it's more than 15,000 video files, more than 15,000 images, more than 40,000 audio files, more than over 2,000 books and all kinds of good other stuff that will go with it because it's now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment that you can get from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. I was telling Brother Baba Olatunji I was in Houston. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. And I went to see, it was not open, but I drove around and the Shrine of the Black Madonna in Houston's off the chain, y'all. It's got four buildings, beautiful, big, huge church, this big, huge sanctuary, and on the outside, the Pan-African spiritual. Oh, man, you know, seeing that is beautiful. You know, just as it is in Detroit and the farming land they have, Beulah land, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Other programs, other bookstores is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right across from We Buy Black. So if you're at the We Buy Black kiosk, right there is the Medu Bookstore. They got books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kind of good other stuff. And if they don't have the book you are looking for, they'll get it for you, believe me. The number to call for the Medu Bookstore is 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. And, of course, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, the Black Dot. There is light in the Black Dot. That's right. There is light in the Black Dot. Brother Ajamu. Brother Kazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center Festival, Saturday, September 28th from 12 to 8. It's a free event. It's a street event. Live music.
artwork, poetry, speakers, all so much more. And of course, they got the red, black, and green shoes, just like the Shrine has, the gas. They have them. You know, come there with your money, pick some up, buy some books, participate. Saturday, September 28th, located on Main Street in Lithonia, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. That'll be Saturday, September 28th. Cafe Ulu. Nope, just Ulu. Us Lifting Us, the economic development for cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or a cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us Lifting Us. The Thursday night broadcast, tomorrow night broadcast comes on at 9 p.m. And if you want to listen to that broadcast, you want to participate, the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Ulu. The economic development cooperative for our people, something that we as an African people must understand is vitally important. Being collective, working together, trusting one another, believing in one another, working with one another, cooperatively. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Ya Baruti are doing an outstanding job of developing and training our warriors, and we should support that. Make your check out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That is Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, 30310. Or you can use PayPal and Cash App. Y-A-A-M. Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, for PayPal and Cash App. Sister Gabby, I met this sister a few months ago, and I support her program. I support what she's doing in Haiti, in the northeastern part of the country of Haiti, in the rural area, providing education, jobs, way to make money, and so forth. It's beautiful. Check it out, sonje-haiti.org. Sonje, sonje-haiti.org. sonje-haiti.org. Black Talk Radio Project. I just mentioned that the Black Talk Radio Network is the number one American African podcast in the nation, well, probably in the world. And we want to support it. We want to make it stronger. We want to make it bigger. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. If you go on Black Talk Radio Network, the fund information will be there. It'll be in the in the heading as well, but you don't have to go nowhere else. Once you click on that, scroll down on your right side, the donate button, hit that and send that money. Send something, anything, $5, $10, $50, $100, whatever it is. Because we want to help Brother Scotty Reed make Black Talk Radio Network grow. Because we, brothers and sisters, we need information. What you hear on this program is repeated on other programs on the Black Talk Radio Network. So, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inye Sesem. September 17th. Those who trade their swords for plows will plow for those with swords. An African proverb. I'll say it again. Those who trade their swords for plows will plow for those with swords. Has Mama Marimba, Marimba Ani, reconceptualized for African warrior scholars in Urugu using the term rhetorical ethic. Truth is political for Europeans. This is absolutely attested to by the historical consistencies of their shameless, systematic, historical use of lies, false words, and against others. These lies are intentionally designed to destroy others. Their intent through using their belief in the humanity of all humans to be manipulated. Manipulate them into believing that Europeans are not trying to destroy them. Let me repeat that. To manipulate them into believing that Europeans are not trying to destroy them. It is the politics of morality, not universal morality, which rules. And in the Western culture context, morality is purely political. Extreme individualism removes the possibility of a moral base, especially in Western culture, because anything that produces a profit or physical pleasure becomes morally correct. Regardless of the truth of an individual statement, convincing others of its truth is what is most important. Skill at manipulating others' minds is the ultimate priority. I repeat, skill at manipulating others' mind is the ultimate priority. Truth itself is irrelevant. It is set by the winner. So rules are meant to be broken. And because winning is everything and deception, the easiest and surest way to winning in Western society, there can be no moral rules except those arbitrarily given by the winner. It is the master of lies who wins. For a lie is only a lie when one is caught by those with a greater capacity to punish. Affirm, I will not succumb to the belief that truth is irrelevant. Affirm, I will not succumb to the belief that truth is irrelevant. September 18th. Not to see the blow coming is something, not to see the blow coming is sometimes understandable, but to fail to see what has struck one, even when the blow has been received, betrays a serious defect in judgment. Willie Abraham. Because Europeans grew up without a civilizing influence, they came on the scene as invaders with no intellectual or spiritual foundation grounded in centuries of trial and error. They simply graduated from childhood into adulthood using others' technology, machines, ideas, religion, without learning the important lesson maturation brings through struggle in a real, not manufactured or stolen world. While others learn from experience and the interactive influence of others, Europeans came to power so quickly and violently that they never grew out of a child's psychology. And in their case, a psychosis that only knows selfish, insatiable appetite and aggression. Now that they have existed long enough and have unavoidably been kept in the presence of feeling wise people, they have discovered the need to humanize themselves into mature adults. And they expect to emotionally mature without experiencing any guilt for what they have done. This is why so much of their energy is being used in order to find inner peace, a quality they feel they can be acquired via osmosis or imitation. This is also why they are working so hard to have others participate in their maturation. In order to be seen as mature, human adults, they must have everyone else's approval. Affirm, I see the effects of Western lies. Affirm, I see the effect of Western lies. You know, I've been reading what happened to our good brother Kwame Nkrumah. Love Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah said from Jump Street, even though Ghana was the first country to throw off the shackles of colonialism, with others to follow. But even during it, and as that process was going on, Kwame Nkrumah understood and knew it wasn't about Ghana, Nigeria, Botswana, or any country. It was about Africa and the unification of Africa. He understood it. Patrice Lumumba understood it. Idi Amin Dada understood it. The Honorable Sheikh Anta Diop understood it. And many others, Thomas Sankara, all of them died, not realizing, even seeing a glimmer of hope that the unification of Africa would be realized. And look at it today. Kwame Nkrumah said in his speech, speak of freedom in 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. Years later, he said this: if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. No, seriously, no greater words ever spoken. Sashifo, Kwame Nkrumah. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're going to talk today about words. I finally decided to do this presentation because, you know, we're always talking about words matter, words have meaning. You know, people say words and, you know, understand something. The Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC, an organization that pretty much focuses on the greatness of ancient Kemet, organization that was founded by a good many of African-centered scholars, you know, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, you know, Dr. Asa Hilliard. I could go on. And these men and women, you know, the leadership of Sister Nzinga, beautiful sister. And, you know, the importance of language. They wrote a preliminary challenge, a book. They wrote a book. I had to get the preliminary challenge. And in it, there was one chapter that I will never forget, and that is, can you liberate yourself in somebody else's language? Can you liberate yourself in your oppressor's language? Now, I understand, and just as I read the Inye Sesim and the quotes by various people, and of course, Baba Baruti's narratives that follow, you know, and I understand that the European, in terms of whatever the European does, everything that he does is designed to maintain and sustain the privilege they have created for themselves. And whatever they have to do, they will do, even if it's the point of eliminating some people like what they did in 9/11. They killed over 3,000 people to establish a fear factor in the country so they can institute homeland security. And because they have lied consistently, just like, you know, watching the news today when they're talking about Iran. Because the government lies so damn much, how can you believe that Iran went and bombed Saudi airfields? I don't give a damn how you show me on television some fragments and say these were developed in Iran. I believe nothing. I don't believe a damn thing that Europeans put out. It's just like in a trial. In the OJ trial, Detective Mark Furman, and probably Mark Furman had information that could probably clearly substantiate OJ as the murderer. But Mark Furman's testimony was stricken because he lied. He perjured himself. And once that happens, then, you know, it's over for you. There ain't nothing you can say. You lied. How can I believe anything else that you've said? And of course, Caucasians have been lying from day one. I just read two Inyesesim saying that in their existence and they're coming on the scene. Look what they did to our history. Look what they've done to us. Look what they have made us believe. They are liars. And the truth ain't in them. So therefore, the words that they have, that they put out there, as I said, everything they do is designed with the intent of maintaining and sustaining the privilege they created. That's why a lot of words have multiple meanings and sometimes contradictory meanings. And, you know, and I know too that we as African people, we, you know, hear some words and we began to develop a slang to it. You know, because really, America, if it was just Caucasians, America would be as boring as Europe is, because that's the same thing. America, Caucasians here, Europe, European, what is now called Australia and New Zealand, European. And many other parts around the world that they claim for themselves, European. Islands that they have taken, European. Everywhere they've gone, they've destroyed. And now, because of their greed and selfishness and evil intent, they done messed the whole damn planet up. It has been said, and you can, you know, research it yourself or deny it yourself if you want to. That's fine, because it's going to happen anyway. They said that if nothing is drastically done within the next 10 to 15 years, and I don't see anything on the horizon that is going to be drastically done, then what is happening to the planet can be irreversible until all these calamities possibly could end human life, end plant life, animal life, marine life on the planet. And then the planet will cleanse itself and evolve again like it did before. Who knows? One thing for sure, that the people who are in charge now should never be in charge ever again. But what I see, because of the 1% and their selfish, excuse me, and their selfish, greedy, that 1% that are multi billionaires. There are no millionaires in the 1%. You got to have a billion. And I can see them, all the like the sci-fi stuff, developing an area where they live and putting a some kind of glass dome over it, with a military force to defend it, a private military force to defend it. I put nothing past these Caucasians to do whatever they have to do. I don't. But the problem for us is that if we look at the language, and it is theirs, but we say things differently, we use different terminology, it changes the narrative. Probably the one that is most important as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to go through a few of them that are kind of like pet peeves for me in terms of language, but probably the number one is the word slave. The word slave. You know, if you heard me do a libation, and if you listen to this program, at the beginning of the program, I do a libation, and I always say that we were not slaves. We were not. If by the definition, a slave means somebody or something that submits its will to a master, that ain't us. We acquiesced. I mean, you know, I can throw some semantics out here, because a lot of times we had to acquiesce, but we didn't submit. We, in our minds and in our hearts, it was always, because we were captives. We were captured and like imprisoned. We were made to work from can't see in the morning to can't see at night. We were treated deeply inhumanely because the Europeans thought that we were not human, even though we have been encountered by them. And if you look at the, and I know Brother Franklin Jones, the brother who comes on after me with the Black People Matrix, you said there's some new DNA evidence that African people did not leave out of Africa and migrate into Europe and get cut off by Ice Age and then change to deal with the environment. That's what I believe still, that they changed to deal with the environment, because that's what human beings have ability to do. That's what anything that wants to live has ability to do. But if it can't change, it will cease to exist. It will die. And so for us, you know, when we left out of Africa with that slender body, dark skin, melanated skin, protecting us from the ultraviolet rays of the sun, you know, and then moving up further north in west, not in Africa, but further north and west, all the way into Europe, being cut off by the ice age, our bodies changed. They mutated. No longer do you need that dark skin. Your skin, you lost your pigment. No longer did you need that broad nose. Your nose became thin to warm the cold air before it got into your lungs. No longer did you need those thick, beautiful lips, those juicy, kissable lips. Your lips became thin, like a monkey, chimpanzee, real thin lips that they always mock us with and say that's what we look like. You know, sometimes you see Caucasians, they have no lips. It's a slit. You know, both of the top and bottom, just a slit. Because they had to hold in the heat. They had hair all over their body. Their bodies were short and stocky because it was cold, and they had to thin that fat to help warm them. Long stringy hair, particularly down the back of their necks, because your heart is pumping and it pumps blood to your brain, and you got to get to your brain because that's how you're going to function. That's your brain tells you to move your arms and walk, get upright and so forth. You need that. So if you can't get that blood to your brain because there ain't no hair on your back and it freezes at that point, you're going to die. So in their development, in that environment, it's a very harsh environment. Ain't a lot of fresh stuff. It ain't a lot of, you know, it's going to be heavy in meat. It's going to be heavy. It's cold out there. In Michael Bradley's book, The Iceman's Inheritance, he states, as a title of it, the subtitle is, European sexist, selfish, and racist and greedy nature, because the environment's so hard, you know, that they see something, they see a kill, or they make a kill. Somebody might be hiding behind a tree or a rock to vamp on them to take the kill. It's every man and woman for themselves. They had that kind of mentality. Survival of the fittest, as they like to say. That's why to them, they were the selfish and most violent and most greedy. And that's how they still are. That's what they still are. And sexist and racist, they still are. Ironically, as they began to develop, the Greeks, the known civilization that Europeans focus on, has the beginning of civilization, not Kemet, not any of the Greece. Greece is the true beginning of the civilized world, civilization. Well, and now we know the Greeks were students of the Africans. Greeks came to study at the feet of Kemetic people. In George G.M. James' book, Stolen Legacy, he proves it. He proves that fact that Greek philosophy is a misnomer. And all this other stuff that Greeks had, they came to study at our feet. When Socrates went back to Greece, they said, what are you doing bringing this information, man? They made him drink hemlock. They killed him. Plato saw what was happening. He disappears for a good number of years and then comes back with all this information. That's why people think Plato is such a great philosopher and philosophizing. And, of course, then there's Aristotle, which was probably one of the greatest pledgers, a thief beyond measure. Getting into the libraries that we had with the papyri and putting his information on there. Just a thief. Cultural appropriators. And so then the Greeks come into the Romans. And of course, the Romans take Kemet after the fall, you know. And then, of course, Europe plunges itself back into a, quote, dark age. And the only information, once again, in Europe was in the western part. In Spain, what is now Spain and Portugal, which is the Moors, African brothers coming out of North Africa, crossing the Iberian Peninsula, where the Rock of Gibraltar is, into Spain for 700 years. And the multiplicity of things that were taught to Europeans because of them. So that's twice. Twice we educatedly influenced them. And then, of course, they started feeling themselves again with Charlemagne, Martel, and all the others. They kicked the Moors out. They kicked the Sephardic Jews out. Columbus is commissioned by Isabella and Ferdinand, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, to open up the trade route to India for spices and so forth. But he got caught up in the Atlantic, and the Atlantic currents, as you see, how the hurricanes, exactly, that's how it happens, brothers and sisters. Same thing. He got caught up in those currents that sweep you westwardly. So when he landed on the what they called Hispaniola, the island that is now Haiti and the Dominican Republic, that's why he named the inhabitants Indians, because he was looking for India. But then he struck upon something even deeper. And he opened up this hemisphere to European domination and exploitation. And of course, we have been suffering ever since. There's another group that needs to be understood too by us in conjunction with that, and that is the acceptance of Judaism by Europeans, the Ashkenazi European Jews, and their dominance of Judaism around the world. I know there's the Black Hebrew Israelites and Yahweh Ben Yahweh and Ben Amin's group and so forth, you know, saying that we are the originals and we are the inhabitants. And of course, they laugh at that because they are armed. These European Jews are armed to the teeth. And they dominate and dictate just like any other Europeans. So the theologies, you can really set them aside. The bottom line is Europeans who are selfish, greedy, and don't want to share will find ways to control. So that word slave is what they put on us. In watching TV One, as I used to before Roland Martin got kicked off with a fathead Roland Martin, but he would come on and he would say, words matter. Words matter. You know? Words have definition. And I was like, yeah. And then he would say, yeah, they brought over some slaves. Damn it, if words matter, then you need to understand how deep words are and find a proper word or definition to describe our situation. Because we were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits his will to a master. There was over 400 revolts. We fought on a continent. The bottom line is what helped facilitate, as Dr. Rogers pointed out on his program last night, would help facilitate Europeans' rise in their exploration when they went out. When Marco Polo goes to China, Marco Polo was Italian, and he comes back with pasta. That's why everybody thinks pasta is Italian. But no, pasta is Chinese. But people think, too, that rice is Chinese. But no, rice is African. But he comes back with fireworks, which Chinese use for celebration. But the powder to make these sparks and so forth, Europeans develop weaponry. If you ever heard this program, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. If you ever heard this program, you know that Europeans always found, from day one in their evolutionary development, found a better way to kill your ass. They developed superior weaponry. And when they developed a gun, cannons, Gatling guns, machine guns, AK-47s, stealth stuff, all kind of stuff, they found the better way. That's why, to me, armed struggle in the conditions that we're in, and I know appealing to the world from a moral perspective when Europeans dominate control of the world and they're amoral. I'm not saying our condition is hopeless, because believe me, that's not something that Brother Oshie believes in. I believe in African redemption. It is not hopeless, but we need to change the narrative. And by changing the narrative, we need to change the words that we use and the images that are in our minds. Imagine if we, instead of ever saying, we would never say the word slave again, because we are not slaves. We were captives. It puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it? Slaves in cartoons, in literature, old movie, hell, new movies, slaves. We were slaves. They brought over some slaves. When I heard a dude say that, when they brought the slaves over, I wanted to jump to the TV and, well, you know. No, they brought over Africans in captivity who had a multiple number of of talents and skills. In fact, after captivity was over in the so-called Reconstruction period, I saw online a little bit of that thing they had here this past weekend. I can't remember what they call it again. And they had Killer Mike. He was talking to T.I. and Candace Owens. Candace Owens is a mouthpiece for Donald Trump, you know. So what Killer Mike said is that there was only one time that America was great. I beg to get to differ. There was never a time that America was great. Never, ever. But he chose Reconstruction because after our captivity for that almost 10 years or thereabouts, you know, we made some strides politically. We made some strides because we were in our captivity. We were laborers. We were artisans. We, you know, smelt all of those things. We were builders. You know, when Michelle Obama said, "I live in a White House that was built by our captive brothers and sisters," the Caucasians went, "Wow." And so he's off the air. Well, I don't know. I know he's off on Fox. O'Reilly, he went off. But then he did the research and found out, it's true. He didn't want to believe her because the White House is the symbol. The White House. That's why Donald Trump and many of his ilk had such an aversion because a black man was in the White House. An African was in the White House. Man, I'm coming up on this. Listen, help me out with this rant. I'm going to take a break. And on the other side, I'm going to further this conversation, putting out some words that I hope that you will think about because I know if I can do it, all of us could do it. When I see the word black, automatically my mind is now African. When I see the word white, I don't call them white. I call them Caucasians or Europeans. You know, when I see the words slave, I automatically say captive. Change the narrative. Change the way. That's another thing, brothers and sisters, as far as I'm concerned. If the Caucasians say it's up, I'm saying it's down. If he says it's blue, I'm saying it's black. If he says it's red, I'm saying it's green. Whatever. I'm always contrary. I'm always on the opposite because of what they have done and proving to be and still are the prevaricators, the liars on this planet. We're going to take a break. Let me come back from that break. We'll continue the conversation. I want you to join us at 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us, brothers and sisters.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other program we have on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. My program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following my program on Monday and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds on Mondays from 6 to 8, followed by Black, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then after that, it's Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Black Reality Think Tank on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. And on Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy. On Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I know what I'm saying is hard for a lot of our people to comprehend and to grasp and truly to change. But imagine if we could. That every time we've seen that word slave, because right now, if you're honest, I say the word slave, whose face do you put on it? Who has become synonymous with the word slave? That's like, who has become synonymous with the word Holocaust? Many European Jews were upset when Brother Dr. James Cameron used the Black Holocaust Museum, because they have co-opted that word, even though they have a word for what the people went through is the Shoah. So Holocaust is an English word, which is something that happens against the people that is so demoralizing that is not just against those people, but it's against all humanity. And I'm not going to debate whether or not European Jews suffered at the hands of the Germans and the Nazis and so forth. Hell, if they killed one, let alone allegedly killing, what was it? Oh, 6 million. But, and then we start to compare, because, you know, that situation lasted, what, 10, 20 years, 30 years, whatever that. But ours is ongoing even to this very moment. A Holocaust. But we have a word. Africans have a word. The Maafa, the Mfakani. These are African words about the great tragedy that happened to our people. The African Holocaust. In this society, if you say the word Holocaust to anybody, the first thing they'll say, oh, what happened to the Jewish people? I mean, even at that, using the word Jews, you say it as if they are a distinct people. You say it as if they are a people that is distinct from any other group. They're Caucasians. They're Europeans. When you say, you don't say the Catholic people, the Protestant people, the Methodist people. Judaism is a religion. It's not a cultural group. It's not a, quote, race. There's only one race. Let's get that squared away. There's only one race, if you want to make that term, and that is the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. All others are cultures. Cultures. Europeans impose their culture on humanity. And when they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, they imposed their culture. If you did not bow down to what they were bringing, the theology, if it was Catholicism or whatever it was, if you didn't bow down to the principles of its governance, whatever that was, its monetary system, whatever that was, or whatever they brought, then you were going to be eliminated. You were going to be killed. When people talk about the word genocide, there has been genocide. But what the European Jews were experiencing was not genocide. It was mass murder. Genocide in itself, it says, I'm wiping all of y'all out. There's still some European Jews who are children in that situation who can recall what happened to them and their families. In genocide, everybody's gone. They ain't no aqua natives anymore, aqua indigenous people in Haiti and what is now called Haiti and Dominican Republic, was then called Hispaniola. Because why? Europeans enacted genocide against them. And there are other parts of the planet where Europeans have imposed a genocide against those indigenous people to do what? To take their land, to take their resources. And if the people were to remain, then they imposed their culture on them. Like Argentina, the country of Argentina. Once captivity was supposed to be over, the country of Argentina imported many Caucasians, and killed many Africans. They wanted to kill them or breed them out. So the idea was for Caucasian men to impregnate Caucasian women. The offsprings of those children were to be made it with other Caucasians to breed that African blood out. So, hopefully, you can do what I have done. When you see the word slave, you see it, you don't say it. You can train your mind to see captive. It changes the narrative deeply. We were slaves. We were not slaves. They brought over some slaves. No, they didn't. They brought over some human beings. They brought over some Africans. They brought over the fathers and mothers of humanity and put them in a precarious and deep situation as somebody who is unworthy of even life. You are a slave. You know, the word African, many people have a problem with the word African. Many people believe that Africa was named after Scipio Africanus, who defeated Hannibal in Carthage, you know, because the Romans would say every day, oh, something's happening here. Something. Testing. I don't know why my mics were so, I had to turn it up. tell you, I don't know what's going on here. Testing, 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 1, 2, 3. Testing, 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 1, 2, 3. Testing, 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 1, 2, 3. Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. I must have hit something, you know. Sometimes you got to look at your board. You know, there might be a little something there. Probably nothing that, don't be tripping. Just look. Do some immediate troubleshooting. So, what I'm saying, and I will continue to say for the rest of this program, and I hope that you would join me, and let me know what you think. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. That we need to change the words, the verbiage that we use. Because words have meaning. Words matter. When you say a word, it gives an image. And because we have been, you know, a captivity of human beings in servitude to other human beings have been going on for, you know, since human beings been on the planet. But the word slave is not something that was in the dialect of human beings from ancient times. And true Africans on the continent engaged in servitude to one cultural group to another, especially if they went to war. So, you know, but also too, just like it was pointed out on Dr. Rogers' program last night, when they went to war, just like if you've seen the movie Shaka Zulu, we didn't kill everybody. We didn't suppress the other people. We didn't dog them out. We didn't make them learn our language or doing that. That's not us. The European, the whole thing is to just destroy you. And then the remnants from that to suppress it, to make and put them in an image that the European would want them to be. So it's a lot deeper. The word black. The word black is a color. The word white is a color. To describe Europeans hundreds of years ago, they didn't use the word white. They were their culture. They were, you know, Romanian. They were Slovakian. They were German. They were Austrian. They were, you get it, Spanish, English, whatever. They weren't white. But this idea of collective whiteness was something that they grasped coming out of that dark age when they went around the world. When they, I can't speak to the fact that in 1884-85 at the Berlin Conference, they physically sat at a table in Berlin, Germany, with a huge map of Africa before them. And they carved it up like a Christmas turkey. I can't speak to that about when they decided that they were going to collectively take over the world and be white. And because of Caucasians being white and dominating and suppressing, then when we came out of the captivity, physical captivity, and then witnessed and experienced all of that terror, lynchings, mass incarceration, vagrancy laws, all kinds of craziness, segregation, and then see me, you know, I'm old enough to remember when nobody called, we didn't call ourselves black. That was another thing like Africa that we were trained to hate. we were Negro and colored. The colored people, yeah, yeah. But when the Caucasians who have been imposing and saying we're white, and of course, they have the definitions, and of course, what did white mean? It meant purity and angelic, and mean all these other things, but what did black mean in their dictionary? Something sullied, something, you know, evil, something sinister. So when we came out of and coming into the civil rights struggle, and then it became the Black Power Movement. We call ourselves black. Not understanding, dear brothers and sisters, and I've said this, and I have no fear of saying it. But the problem with the Black Power Movement, it was not cultural. It did not embrace Africa. It did not embrace Africans. It did not reach across the water. Oh yeah, we had some brothers and sisters in Froes, in Daishikis, you know, sisters in Gaylays, you know. But it was black. Just so I don't want see just like today, there are many people, particularly those who have some influence. I ain't saying power, we're gonna get to that word in a minute. Some influence, some money, positions, and so forth. They don't want to be Caucasian. They want to be black. You know, like here in Atlanta, there's subdivisions where damn near everybody is American African. And they consider themselves black. Because they want the houses, they want the cars, they want the job, they want this, that, other, that Europeans have. They don't want to supplant Europeans. They don't want to remove them. No, they just want to be just like them, but black. I think of Stephen A. Smith, and although he went to Africa, Steve Harvey, supposedly he's changed, I doubt it. He want to be black. Because they don't want to be African. Imagine, though, if we, all of us, we say we're not going to be defined only by being African. And so many people have a problem with that because, you know, they're saying like there are some non-Hispanic whites, you know, millions of our people. And they're saying that, you know, like in this country, in America, we're about, although I remember saying that we were a higher percentage than what we are and still could be, but, you know, okay, I appreciate that, brother, appreciate that information. I'm trying to make sure I'm just trying to make sure that I'm being heard, you know? Trying to make sure I'm being heard. So in that way, because I have a good program coming up on Friday. I got Brother Dr. Renoka Rashidi and a sister who is an historian, Sister Dorothy Bess. Ironically, she's out of Philadelphia. She's a brilliant independent scholar in Philadelphia. She has an absolute wealth of knowledge in African and American African history and will make a wonderful guest on this program. And I look forward to it on Friday with her and Dr. Renoka Rashidi. So I want to make sure I'm being heard. Oh, we got a caller. 470-470. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. 470. Are you there? Okay. Just trying to make sure I'm being heard and I can hear my guests. Last day, about three people called. Marcus called, Jay called, and a number of people have called, and I couldn't hear them. But they could hear me. That's good, but I want to be able to hear them as well so we can have dialogue. We can, you know, so. Okay, but yeah, that'll work. That'll work. That'll work, my brother. So. The word power, the television program called Power, you know, and of course, for us, we always talk about it. We want to empower our people. We don't understand what power really is because the Congressional Black Caucus had their weekend, my good brother Johnny. My good brother Johnny puts out some film. He was at the Congressional Black Caucus, put out a number of photos. You know, brother Johnny Miller, lovey. You know, me and him went to Selma together for the anniversary. You know, he put out a whole bunch of pictures in there. He goes to these events, and I appreciate it, really do. You know, so I can see for myself. And I saw some good folks there. Of course, some Milwaukee folks because, of course, the Democratic. Because everybody in the Congressional Black Caucus, I think there might be a few, because only a few of us in Congress or even in the Senate are Republican. So predominantly in the Democratic Party. And, of course, in Milwaukee will be the Democratic Convention. The Democratic National Convention next year will be in Milwaukee. And so you had all these people, you know, So the word power. Power, brothers and sisters, is not information. I remember there was another brother had a program called Knowledge is Power, or Information is Power. And I'm saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because if the information and education that you have received is flawed and inaccurate and riddled with lies as it is, you can't get no power from that. Power is politics. We have more brothers and sisters in politics today than we've ever had. And our condition as a people is worse. I ain't talking about that 20% of us who are doing well and some who are doing exceedingly well. I'm talking about us as brothers and sisters who, you know, live, who are at or below poverty or live from paycheck to paycheck. That's what I'm talking about. And so for those brothers who are in that, sisters who are in that situation, yeah, you know, they feel, yeah, politics, man, we, you know, we vote. That's important, man. We got to get our people out to vote. That's what some, that'll change things. That'll change the dynamics. No, it won't. Because it hasn't. No, 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 the politics from that. Voting and politics. The money. The money is not backed up by nothing but what the Caucasian says. And what backs that up? What backs up his word? The ability to kill you. The ability to kill you. When Nixon took the money off the gold standard, oh, there wasn't quite sure a lot of backlash at the time at Brentwood, but look at today. Money's controlled by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And it's nothing but their word. Because of the of European governments and the United States that backs them up. That's why Muammar Gaddafi was killed. That's why Muammar Gaddafi was murdered. But you've seen on your television, like everything else, just like the BS they're trying to throw at you about Iran, like the BS they threw at you on that inside job that was Iraq. I mean, that inside job that was 9/11, so they could go into Iraq because they said, well, Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. And killed Saddam and his family. Like they killed Muammar Gaddafi and his family. So, no, none of those things are power. Power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. The first part of that I love. Power is the ability to define reality. We as African people must define reality and shape it and fashion it in our image and interest. Because that's what Caucasians did. They defined reality, shaped it, fashioned it in image and interest, and then they imposed it on others. They made you believe that their reality was your own. And you believed in their reality so much, you rejected anything about yourself. You believed you were a slave. You believed you were a Negro. You believed that you were incapable of learning. You believed that you were running around the jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose waiting for them to bring you civilization. Power. The ability to define reality. That's Dr. Wade Nobles. When I heard that so many years ago, I was like, wow, that's the most definitive definition of power. Because it is not information or education. It is not politics. It is not money. It's none of those things. Do you have the ability to define reality? That's the bottom line. And that's what we must do. That's why I'm saying when you change those narratives, we will and we could and we must have the ability to define reality for ourselves. Not that we impose it on anybody. I ain't saying that once we define reality, this is who we are as African people. Now we're going to impose that on whoever. No. We're going to define reality for ourselves and defend it. We're going to root it and ground it in the knowledge of African people, in the knowledge of our ancestors, and all the great things that we have done, the things that we have given to the world. When I do the opening talking about ancient Kemet, that was the height, the apex. But the understanding is this. That was thousands of years ago and thousands of years in the making. I got a text here. He says there are three ways to manipulate the human mind. Three ways to manipulate the human mind. By what we're taught, by what we see, and by what we hear.
Hey, can you hear me today?
Hey, Jay, I can hear you, man. Thank goodness I can hear you. How you doing today, man?
I was about to say, if you couldn't hear me or not, it's the white man, the devil. You know what I mean? But that's what I was saying Monday, and you couldn't hear me. I'm like the white man, the devil.
That's right.
I couldn't hear you. I just wanted to say hello to you, brother.
Appreciate it.
How you and the family was doing. I didn't really get a chance to hear the show today.
Okay.
But I still wanted to call in and say hello to you.
I appreciate
it. And, you know.
I appreciate it.
How's things going?
Good, man.
What great topic are you talking about today?
I'm talking about words. People say words have meaning. You know, that words matter. You know, and I remember Roland Martin saying that, and then in the next breath, he calling us slaves. You know?
Well, you know, that Negro there is a strange dude. You know, some of the things that he say are, you know, above some value, but he really doesn't have I think the problem is a true African understanding of what he speaks of. It has more of a tint of trying to be integrated into Europeanism.
Yeah.
Or being accepted by Europeans instead of putting forward a sovereignty tint on it.
No.
So he's like into that whole
integration
of oppression.
Exactly.
And a lot of people are not able to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he's able to do what he do, and somebody thinks that he's making a great analysis, when in all actuality, he's just trying to get you to be a good slave, to be the type of slave to where as white folks will give you a certain position that he has.
Right.
Remember, he has a certain position that most Negroes don't have, but then he'll try to say that he could have a better position if he doesn't speak certain blackness,
mm-hmm.
which is BS in all honesty, because he's not, in all honesty, talking about sovereignty and the real liberation of African people and us having our own.
Right.
He talks about ownership, but it's not really ownership. It's ownership begging for the cracker begging for the Urugu to keep you in a certain position.
Right.
So whereas you in this beck and call, it's like the same thing when you listen to Negroes talk about being part of the Democratic Party and politics and all that. That's not going to liberate you.
No.
Because you're still beholden to that slave master.
Exactly. You're still in somebody else's house.
The system is only going to give you what so much because that's the way it is. And, you know, they play this game, and unfortunately, we are not able to get the game, to see how we're being played, to see how we're being manipulated and all of those things. So cats like him get away with what they do, and we still get caught up in, as one would say, the so-called matrix.
Yeah, and you're right.
So, I mean, and that's where words and things go into play. It's just like, you know, imagine him and Burundi and let's say Malefi Asante sitting down having a conversation about Afrocentricity. That would be a conversation where he would just be totally exposed because he just doesn't have a total understanding of African value system.
No.
So whereby
if
everything that you're really about is incorporating European spirituality, European value system and things of that nature, then you ain't really about nothing. Because your premise at the end is always gonna be European values.
Right.
So as long as your premise is always European values, then you have no real African idea. You know, but a lot of people don't understand that, so cats like him get away with what he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
That's why I'm the type, I watch him. And the reason why I watch him is because you got to be aware of the games that cats like him play, because they're dangerous. They really, really dangerous.
Well, they're problematic to our cause for legitimate will of independence in our will in our aspirations to be a free, independent, and liberated and sovereign people. They are the ones that, you know, prevent that from being realized because a lot of our people.
There's a dangerousness in that also.
Right, because a lot of our people listen to those in that position because we still want to be what the Caucasian have. We still want to be in their system. We still want to find a comfortable corner, a comfortable niche in European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. We want to find a, we want to find our comfortable corner. And so then the mindset becomes, oh, I got mine. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. And that's really what it all boils down to, that you live in a life to whereas you're able to have some sort of comfort in whiteness. You know what I mean? And you're not doing anything to try to destroy white supremacy. That's why I laugh at them when they talk about white supremacy and all that, because you're not really fighting white supremacy. You're trying to integrate into whiteness.
No.
So how could you be fighting white supremacy integrating into whiteness?
Exactly.
You got to totally destroy it.
Exactly.
Well,
first you must understand what it is and what it isn't. The other thing is, you know, when you're trying to integrate yourself into somebody else's situation, then you will never have any power. We used to hear that we're going to empower the people. No, not in their world. This is theirs, not ours.
But you real know what the power truth is, they really don't want power. They don't want the responsibility of power. That's why, you know, people make these assertions about Mugabe and all of that. Mugabe, whatever Mugabe was and whatever Mugabe did, Mugabe was about power.
Yeah.
Just made some strategic mistakes that all African leaders do. You know what I mean?
It's like,
and then you have a system in place that wants to manipulate you and things of that nature. I had saw this documentary on Maurice Bishop the other day.
Yeah, Maurice Bishop. The New Jew movement. The New Jew movement in Grenada.
Right. And the thing is, Maurice Bishop was really trying to do the right thing.
Yes.
But because of the manipulation and the wickedry of Ronald Reagan and the CIA and the rest of them dirty bastards, they absolutely destroyed the New Jew movement.
Yes.
And then the people turned on him. But in the process, if you really look at what he was trying to do, the foundation of it, it was a beautiful thing.
Yes, it was.
The direction that,
yes,
in a sense, he should have been able to do. Because he just really wanted, in a sense, to be able to use the resources of his land to better the condition of the people. And, you know, that's what's sad.
Yeah.
Because they had people that came to the country from the Panthers after the Panther movement and things of that nature that were going to help, you know, develop the country
right
on the level that it should have been. But, you know, the white man never wants you to develop a country and make it independent and make it viable and sovereign.
Everything on this planet that happens, Caucasians feel they must be in control of it.
And
particularly with us, you know, if there's something that we're trying to do to gain some measure of self-determination and control over our lives, Caucasians will sabotage and interfere. They'll manipulate it. They'll send agent provocateurs in there to, you know, to destroy it, whatever it is, to keep us in this subservient position. To keep us begging.
And that right there is the constant thing that we face. And unfortunately, we just don't get it, man.
See, that's why I'm saying, words really need to be understood in the context. And whose words are they, how they're being used, and so forth, in the context for our liberation. If we would not call ourselves and our ancestors slaves and call them for what they were captive, they were imprisoned.
Hey, Oshie, I got to go. I'll talk to you later.
All right, dear brother. Thanks a lot, Jay. Peace to you. We have another caller. South Fulton. Hello, how you doing?
Oh, dear, okay.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Well, I don't know. That. So anyway, That's why it's important that we control the narrative. Brother just sent me this. I'm going to read this right quick. There are three ways to manipulate the human mind: by what we're taught, by what we see, and by what we hear. Because Caucasian people control the education we're taught, the media images we see, and the societal narratives that we routinely hear, these factors allow them to shape African minds to think in ways that serves and protects the interests of Caucasian societies. It is a true science and a slow process called social engineering. It's the true reason why many African people are now self-hating, perceive themselves as their own worst enemies. I hate that. And think favorably of Caucasians in spite of a brutal history to the contrary. This programming of African minds first began during our educational development and when our minds are young and most impressionable. And it continues our entire lives through media manipulation. They control. They are in control. But we don't want to look at it like that. You know? Because see, what society puts out is that you have free will. You know? All information that comes to you is good. It's up to you to decipher whether or not it is good for you. And of course, because we want to believe this and because of what we've been experiencing for the last 400 years, we feel this situation is just as much ours as it is theirs. Many of us believe that. And many of us don't want nothing to do with Africa. I ain't no African. I'm from Mississippi. I'm from Alabama. I'm from Georgia. I ain't no African. I'm from New York. That's why I'm saying why we must change the narrative. We must change, use words that truly describe our condition and our situation. And if we are to get power, we must understand what real power is. No, we will never get power from voting. We will never get power from a political system that is controlled and dominated by them. It is theirs, not ours. No, the money is controlled by them. Hell, pretty soon, it doesn't make a difference. And I'm adamant about not having Sister Armenthea, Harriet Tubman's face on a $20 bill. What the Caucasian had proposed initially is putting her face on the front and Andrew Jackson Steele on the back. What an insult. Sister's rolling over in her grave. She's rolling over in her grave. No. The way we have power is for us to close ranks, pull our resources, believe in one another, trust one another, make that link across the continent. I stated many times that the Caucasian understands the power of African people to do great things if they develop functional unity. That's why even in Jimmy Carter's administration, Zygmunt Brzezinski, an evil, sinister-looking Caucasian, who is the national security advisor, stated that we must do everything possible to prevent Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora from ever coming together. We must consistently tell these blacks that you are better than them. We must tell these Africans that you are better than them. Divide and conquer, manipulation. We must tell these, like, no, you know, just keep working harder. You're an American. You're as an American as I am. Go to school. Stop talking about all that black stuff. You're an American. Definitely don't talk about no African stuff. We have so much to do, so much work. That's why I applaud those brothers and sisters who are truly pushing forth and teaching our young people what it means to be African. The African-centered movement. Those who are trying to develop warriors, brothers and sisters who would truly would think and behave outside of European domination, of the imposed boundary that they have placed on us. They have a vice grip on our minds. They have a vice grip on our minds. The only way you can remove a vice grip is that knob at the end of the handle. I'm providing you, begging you, trying to make you understand that you can turn that knob with knowledge of self. You can turn that knob when you understand who you are. You can turn that knob when you believe in yourself. You begin to love one another, trust one another, support one another. You can turn that knob. And once that knob is fully turned, you can open the vice grip and see them for who and what they are. Not that you challenge them. Hell with them. That you challenge each other to be the best that we can be to and for each other. To create the narrative that lets them know, no, we were not slaves. We were captives. And now we know who we are. And we know who you are. Not a damn thing that you can say to me. We have a caller. Good afternoon, caller. I mean, they just want to listen. Okay, that's cool. But I'm telling you, this is a battle. We're at war. And we have been warred upon. We're at war for the minds of our people. And because this is a battle for the mind of our people, it is going to take, it's going to take devastating, it'll have devastating effects on us physically, emotionally, spiritually. This is serious. I come on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday passionately trying to help us understand the dynamics that we're in. Helping us understand the course that we need to take to move outside of this situation. Not that we ain't trying to change this. It is who they are. We're trying to change ourselves and our response to this and how we look at this. I could give less than a rat's ass about Caucasians. I'm trying desperately to help Africans. I'm trying to help Africans understand the power that Africans could have if they understood what Nkrumah was talking about, what Shingata Jop was talking about, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, many other Africans, what Africans here in the Pan-African movement, Edward Wilmot Blight and other Pan-African great men and women of then and now, and helping to prepare that future. Because to me, there's nothing more important than Africans coming into the realization of themselves. I'm going to try again at another time to deal with these words, because words matter. Words, when you say words, they put images into your mind. They matter. And we need to change the narrative. We need to give ourselves a vision. If the words put a vision in your mind of you being a captive, you being a Negro, you being a slave, you being black, if those words put into your mind that's who you are, you're self-hating, self-deprecating, then we need to change that. Brothers and sisters, we're going to make way for our good brother, the Black People Matrix, Franklin Jones. So we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants that they can do without and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, hope you have a blessed day. Hope you'll be with me on Friday with Renoka Rashidi and Sister Dorothy Best. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibifahodio means our victorious destiny. Abibifahodio family, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.